Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. This is going to be episode 3 for the E3 2010 series. I am your host, Adam. We don't have any of the usuals here today because we're on the Pacific Coast and it's really late, so everybody's asleep. But I do have the guys from N-Files, which is now called Nerd Mentality, so don't ever refer to it to N-Files anymore or they'll come down on you with a banhammer. So I have Jared.
Hello, I'm Jared.
We've got Ish.
Hey guys.
And Jordan.
Hello.
Alright, so we kind of just did this in a video blog form for Nerd Mentality, so forgive us if we, I don't know, whatever.
I'm pepped. I'm ready for talking.
Alright, good. So what we're going to talk about just is basically what we did today. Today was Tuesday, so the first day of E3. So a few of us got up at 5:30 in the morning and left to go to Nintendo's conference. Registration started at, they told us 7:15, but they actually started at 7:30, so we got there at like 6:30, you'd say, Jordan?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
That did work out really well for you guys.
It did.
Because you sat about 10 rows behind where we got after showing up an hour and a half later.
Yeah. I was kind of upset about that.
Well, it worked out in the end. So we were basically like the first ones there almost. And so, you know, we got in, and then the rest of our group, like Jared and Ish, came with some other people. And they actually got ahead of us. I think they kind of snuck their way in, and so...
It was legit.
It actually was legit, but so the rest of us just kind of joined them. So there really wasn't any point in us getting there that early, but it made me feel better, so... So we were 4 and 5 rows back from the front of the stage, which was pretty fantastic. Jared, why don't you tell them what happened last year, because I was pretty upset about that.
Last year was ridiculous. They gave our director, Desiree, my fiance, a different colored band the day before we went to the press conference than they gave to every other member. And when we asked, they said it really wasn't a big difference, and we figured, you know, she'd be a couple rows up or in a slightly different section or maybe, you know, above us or whatever. When it came to actually go to the press conference, they walked her into one building and us into a completely separate building, where she watched the press conference live a few rows from the stage, and we watched it from essentially like a makeshift movie theater on a big screen. And it took me actually an embarrassingly long amount of time to realize I was not watching anything live. And when I realized it, I was extremely pissed off because we still had to go through like a metal detector and get like wanded with an extra metal detector, and they check our bags as if we were going to bring a fucking gun. I don't know. So it was kind of a letdown. Luckily, we all got in to see Reggie and Miyamoto and everyone live.
Yeah, so when Jared told me that, I was very upset, obviously, because I am a huge Nintendo fanboy, and I wanted to very badly get in there, but it all worked out in the end. Like I said, we were like right up front, so it was incredible. So first thing they started with is Zelda. This is embarrassing, I forgot the name. It's Skyward Swords. Skyward Sword. Singular, I think. So, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. They showed the trailer. First thing we see, basically... Well, okay, so if you haven't seen it, I suggest you go see it. I'm just going to go through it briefly. But basically, the graphics are a very obvious combination between Wind Waker's cel-shaded graphics and Twilight Princess's realistic graphics. The models are very realistic. It kind of keeps some of the realistic textures, but they kind of do like an overlay of cel shading, which I'm assuming is supposed to look like watercolors.
It looks colorful. I mean, I know that was kind of a complaint that Zelda was going down the road of Gears of War and whatnot, you know, just shades of brown. And so it's certainly a hell of a lot more colorful to the point of being a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, to me at least, this is a very obvious, like, experimental prototyping build. All of the colors are, like, a really ugly, bright pastel. The textures don't look finished. The polygons are just, like, everywhere. And just, like, the edges of everything looks really wispy. There's not, like, nothing is really sharp.
Yeah, I mean, compared to I guess Twilight Princess was a weird situation since it was delayed so long to kind of shoehorn it onto the Wii, but playing a build of that over a year before it was done was not that different from playing the final product. Mm. I hope this is very, very different from what the final product is.
Yeah, I'm assuming it is. Do you guys have anything to say?
I'm happy with the new stuff they added. As far as the gameplay goes, it looks like they added a good variety of different weapons, and so you can use different mechanics. The bombs, you have different options on how to... You don't just place them, you can throw them or roll them. You have the whip as another option to kind of take down multiple weaker enemies. They, I guess, replaced the boomerang with like a remote control...
Beetle.
Yeah, flying beetle that you can use to collect items or even deliver, it looked like, bombs and items to a remote location. So I think it'll be definitely more interesting to play than the last couple of iterations of the game. But all in all, it just looked like a better way to play the same game to me. I didn't see anything new aside from a couple of the game mechanics. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it, really.
Jordan?
I pretty much agree with Ish on this one. The mechanics seem cool, and if they're really smooth and intuitive, then I think it'll work out in that regard. But until I see them do something different with puzzles or the game structure or how they rehash temples and things like that, then I'll just wait and see what happens.
I already had my say about this.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something else.
I do think it was weird. I don't remember about Twilight Princess. They had a slingshot and an arrow. Did Twilight Princess have both of those?
Twilight Princess had the slingshot, and then the arrow replaced the slingshot. I think, actually, you have both of them in your inventory. You just never use the slingshot after you get the arrow.
I thought that was kind of weird. Yeah. That's all.
What was I going to say?
Just so.
Yeah. Forgot what I was going to say.
Well, they didn't say anything about the story.
Oh, it uses...
No questions answered, really.
Yeah. So I'll get to that in a second, but it does require Wii Motion Plus, which we know. The gameplay mechanics, as of now, maybe they'll change them, I doubt they will, but they have literally been just ripped straight from Wii Sports Resort. So Ish mentioned the bombs. Those are basically basketball and bowling, so there's three different ways in which you can place bombs. You can just place them by pressing B, like at your foot. You can throw them overhead, which is, you know, you toss the Wii Remote just like you do in Wii Sports Resort basketball. And then you can roll them, which is exactly like Wii Sports bowling. And Miyamoto even came out and said, you know, you can put a little spin onto it. The swords play, obviously, is exactly like the swords play in Wii Sports Resort. To me, at least... I know you didn't play it yet, right?
What?
Zelda.
I played Zelda.
Oh, you did play Zelda.
Yes,
I was there with you.
Sorry, it's very late, people.
Yeah. So it doesn't, in Zelda, it doesn't really feel as good even as it did in Wii Sports Resort. In Wii Sports Resort, your Mii is holding the sword with two hands, and by that you're able to control it, I think, or at least the model is able to, you know, move more realistically, whereas Link has the sword just in his right hand. So when I was rotating the Wii Remote to my left, Link was kind of just, like, throwing his arm kind of up, then down, and then kind of, like, behind him instead of just rotating his wrist to the left. So hopefully they'll work on that. And, like, I was trying to... you know, see exactly how accurate the Wii Motion Plus swinging was. So, you know, I would start with a vertical slice down, then angle it a little more. Usually what I was getting was just a vertical slice down, regardless of, like, you know, how much I angled it. Even
just kind of like a pre-canned, like, animation that you think you were just kind of, if you hit...
Yeah, so it seemed like a lot of the time it wasn't even using the Wii Motion Plus. It was just waggling again, and... Another thing about that is, I was very surprised by how many people on the show floor were just waggling. I mean, you know, what's the point of using Wii Motion Plus if we're going to do the exact same thing that we did in Twilight Princess that everybody was complaining about?
You know, one thing that was weird that you guys, when you play tomorrow, maybe you can, you know, confirm or disconfirm this.
I realized that the game was actually, for, you know, the whole kind of point of the Wii, it was actually kind of confusing to play. It was probably the most confusing Zelda I've played since it went 3D, because they have this system where you hold B to get an item, and then you don't use the item with B. Using B then drops the item, and then shaking your controller brings out the sword again. To use the item, then you'd use A, and then, you know, for the archery, you use, I guess, C or
C
or something.
That's also like Wii Sports Resort. You hold C, pull the nunchuck back, and let go.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just like, for the whole point of Wii is to be, like, intuitive, and yet that, I mean, I was always like, how am I supposed to be doing this? And then I'd go back to, you know, using the sword again when I meant to be. It was kind of wild and completely, like, counter to the whole point of doing it in the first place that way.
Right, I felt the same way, actually. So, you press B, it brings up the item wheel like it did in Twilight Princess. You move the Wii Remote, and actually, the game, as it is now, doesn't use the IR sensor at all. Everything is controlled by the Wii Motion Plus's rotation. So, you go around, you hover over your item, you let go of B, Link takes out that item, and like Jared said, in order to use it, you either make a motion or you press A. So you would think, like in Twilight Princess, you know, you assign an item to a button, and you press that button to use it. But in, what was it called? Skyward Sword, if you press B, like you were to use the item, it actually puts it away. So, I don't know. Hopefully they'll fix that. Is there anything else you want to say about Zelda?
Nothing worth saying.
Alright. The hype was, or not the hype, the reaction was very disappointing in my opinion. I was looking for like the 2003, you know, Wii Zelda, or I guess not that same, GameCube working title Zelda. I think I said that twice.
I mean, because we didn't know.
I expected everybody to flip out.
Yeah, but I mean, if the crowd had flipped out today, you'd be like, done?
Huh?
Like, mission, like, so it wasn't what they showed, it was the crowd's reaction that.
No, not at all. I wanted to.
You thought they'd show something with the Motion Plus that would, like, you know, set everyone's pants
off. No. It's just like watching a bad trailer for a movie that you're going to enjoy. Like, the trailer really hyped you up for the movie, and like you said, the 2003 trailer, I mean, yeah, it was a surprise. So, you know, you see kind of a figure riding on a horse, and then, oh my god, it's Link.
Yeah.
Crazy, blew my mind.
Yeah.
We all knew this was coming, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, but Link shows up, and the background's all beautiful and white. There's no emotion to it, and he kind of gently waves his sword in front of himself, and then
kind of looks
like
too.
Yeah, it
was possible to make Link.
it was like he was trying to butter bread with the sword in front of him.
His model is very skinny.
It's very soft too, and I mean, it just it like
very soft,
face looks.
You say.
No,
but I agree. There was no excitement to the reveal at all. Whether or not it was a surprise is irrelevant. They could
I think
have made us
well,
want
Nintendo
it more.
It seems like they kind of do that to a degree now. They're kind of like, here's your slop, and it's kind of like, you know, they like, you're all right. We we're bringing you pork chops. And
I do agree.
The
they
right,
have
yeah,
become
yeah.
complacent because they feel that they're the leaders in whatever area they think they're leading.
What I think actually got. Oh, sorry.
Oh no. Honestly, I mean, I don't know if this just speaks to how cynical I've become about Zelda, but my reaction to Zelda was exactly what I expected it to be. I did not expect anything like really spectacular, and I don't think we got it. So,
yeah.
I've actually become so cynical, possibly out-cynicaling you to Zelda, that I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised, because I'd kind of written off Zelda forever.
You thought it was going to be just abysmal.
I just thought it was going to be very similar to Twilight Princess, and it was, but playing it was more fun because it was actually harder because you had to develop a skill of being able to use the thing the right way. And that I thought was cool.
Even though you really didn't. Did I say that already, that everybody was just waggling? I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe they were for the orc guys, whatever the hell they were.
Yeah, but for
moment.
The,
For the Deku Baba, they, you know, you had to slice the right way. For the Scorpion guy, you had to slice at the right angle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could get by killing guys, but I mean, there's no reason everything has to be a super intense issue, but everything was, it wasn't, you know, you couldn't just steamroll everybody. You had to take something into account.
Yeah. Going back to the excitement factor, I think, for me at least, what kind of got everybody really excited, Miyamoto appeared on screen, so I'm assuming everybody thought that he was not going to be there, but at one point, like, the figure of Miyamoto, like, being projected goes down to kind of, like, the bottom of the stage, you know, so what, he's just down there. And then he just pops through a curtain, and he's there, and everybody...
Well, he, like, cut through it. He kind of, like...
Did he?
Like,
yeah, he sliced through with
the... Did he have the sword?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He pretended to slice through.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that, because I was very sad that he was not there. But then he was! So what else did they show? They showed Metroid, Other M. Big news, we got Kid Icarus, finally, for 3DS...
Pretty good, I gotta say.
Like, you know, everybody's been saying, you know, every E3 since, I don't know, years, that, oh, you know, this year is gonna be Kid Icarus, and, you know, this year I said it,
I called it.
Joking, yeah, but then I was like, holy crap, you know. I was actually kind of surprised when they were first showing the trailer, nobody really seemed to know what it was.
I had Twitter open, and I had it hovering over Kid Icarus.
Very good.
And because it looked kind of, I don't know, I don't know a hell of a lot about it, and they have to reimagine it anyway, because been, like, however long. And then once they showed the whatever goddess from, like, Brawl.
The goddess of Palutena, I think, or something.
Yeah. Kalushina.
Yeah.
Kalushin.
That works. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I think it was kind of like, I mean, there's not many telltale markers for that character. They can just be like, oh, okay, it's Kid Icarus.
I mean, I just had assumed that, you know, most people at that conference have been saying the exact same things that we have said, oh, you know, this year is going to be Kid Icarus, assuming that they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nobody really got it until they actually showed Pit.
Yeah.
Except for me, and, like, I kind of screamed out, and I was embarrassed, because, like, I was the only one doing it. I'm like, ah! Yeah, pretty much. I did that a lot. One of my friends, actually, Chase, he's been on the podcast, he was watching the conference online, and he said he saw me, so that was pretty cool.
Saw you spaz out?
Yeah.
Swallow your tongue on stage.
Yeah, I did not rush the stage when Miyamoto came out, so... That was a big moment for me. Yeah, so they announced the 3DS. It is the successor to the DS. Obviously, it's in 3D. It's got two cameras on the back for what they say can do 3D photo imaging. So I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with that. It's got a DS... camera on the front as well, so it's just like the DSi. It's got a joystick nub, actually, which feels really good. Did you guys
use that, right? Oh, I was feeling that all over the place.
I tried it during the press conference, but mm-hmm. I was just checking them out.
It's like, everybody really hates the nub on the PSP.
Yeah. It's terrible.
But I think this feels really good, personally.
Yeah, it feels more like a real... analog stick, not like a
takes
sliding.
Up your whole thumb too, instead of just mm-hmm. being like,
yeah, and it actually does, that helps. It actually does, like, slide across,
yeah,
like, you know, the space that's allocated for it, but with the PSP it tilts, right, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I only felt it in the demo. It was a camera, basically, so I didn't have any problems with it. Mm. But I mean, I didn't get to play anything, so we'll see how it goes in motion.
You know, we're getting Smash Brothers on DS now. They have a way to do Smash sticking.
Oh, that's true.
Although I guess Brawl, they did the fucking game with the Wii remote.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't even need that now.
Yeah.
So what gives them kind of, where's Smash Brothers on DS?
Yeah.
Well, the guy who directed Smash Brothers is doing Kid Icarus at the point. So at this point.
True.
So
yeah.
Maybe afterwards they'll get to Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that Sakurai was doing Kid Icarus. That's cool. He's also doing... Is he doing Kirby? Or is somebody else handling
it? No, I think they just name-dropped him to say...
I mean, he's
where
the one
Kirby's
who started
come
Kirby,
from.
Yeah. So what else did they show?
Kirby.
They showed Kirby,
They did show Kirby. Yeah.
God, epic.
It's late.
Epic yarn.
Yeah, so Kirby Epic Yarn is a very highly stylized game. It looks gorgeous. During our video recording, Jared had made the point that up until this point, a lot of people say, you know, oh, this game looks good for a Wii game, but this game just looks good, period.
Yes. Nothing like Well, I mean, like, it's just, you know, we kind of came up with the, it's kind of the amalgam of, like, Paper Mario and Yoshi's Story and Little Big Planet, with the sense of the textured world made up of, like, cardboard and shoelaces and zippers and yarn. And it all looks like it's kind of really there. I mean, it's a really, it's not, it looks fun. It doesn't look, like, drab the way reality looks, but it looks kind of real enough to feel like you can kind of touch it.
Yeah, so it's like Kirby games in that it's a platformer, but it's unlike Kirby games in that Kirby does not have his usual powers. He doesn't, like, suck up enemies and gain their abilities. I didn't play it.
His main thing that he does is he, like, whips out a bit of yarn that is, like it grabs stuff, I guess.
Maybe like a tether or like a grappling hook in any other game.
Yeah, yeah. And he'll, you know, if there's an enemy in front of him, he whips that out and it kind of just, like, it would be gruesome if it wasn't yarn. It just, like, pulls them apart. To the point, I mean, every character in Kirby himself is an outline of yarn in the shape of Kirby walking around. And so when there's a little Waddle Dee walking around made of, like, just an outline of yarn, he kind of just pulls, like, apart the seam and the guy just kind of is then the thread of yarn that he was. Or the various different colors threads just kind of pull and then they fall into a pile. And then he can use that in a lot of different ways. You know, he can grapple onto something, he pulls apart, like, zippers, he pulls out shoelaces, he... there's just a lot of kind of cool inventive stuff. The whole demo was basically just a tutorial. You'd walk forward and they'd say... They wouldn't say, they'd kind of be a little background sign that shows you, like, press forward to turn to a car, and if you double tap forward, you like transform into like a little car, and you drive faster and you get like better jumps, I guess.
Yeah, like like you said, he doesn't suck up the enemies to gain their abilities, but he does have a lot of Kirby inherent powers, like the stone, and or you become a parachute if you to glide across chasms or whatever, or the car if you double tap forward. So I mean, I felt it looked like a Kirby game. I don't think.
Well, you're saying that because Brandon said.
Because it was mentioned earlier that it could have been
by
done
an
with any other hero, and sure, you could always make any game. You could make the next Mario game with a different character that isn't Mario, and they could jump, and they could grow when they eat a mushroom.
No one can jump like Mario.
Well, Luigi almost can, but he kind of waddles in the air. Yeah. But anyway, but I think I do feel that this had like the next Kirby feel. I think it was done like a Kirby game, just with a new innovation, which is really what not just Nintendo, but Nintendo a lot of times lacks. They just kind of throw another game that's just like the last game with maybe one new gameplay aspect. So I'm calling this like the next great Nintendo game. This is the next Super Mario Brothers for me, I think. So honestly,
sweet.
Especially with the multiplayer.
Are you saying that as in this is the best game since Super Mario Brothers on the NES? Like, is that definitive?
No. I'm saying, like, just the recent Super Mario Brothers for the Wii.
Yeah.
How that, like, okay. If someone asks me, hey, what's good on the Wii, I'll probably name that first, and then maybe I'll name a couple other things.
Yeah.
You know, 8 months from now, I'm going to say Kirby.
Well,
and
like,
then Mario
like
Brothers.
Like, Candace Curse was on the DS. It was, like, that was the game.
Right, yeah. No, and I think they did a really good job with this. I mean, honestly, of all the stuff they showed us, aside from the 3DS, which, you know, verdict's still out because we haven't really played it, but I think this is it for me, for the conference.
Michael
Nintendo
Jackson's,
thing,
this is it.
That, Michael Jackson's, Kirby's it.
Honestly, I kind of think that what we traditionally think of Kirby, the game, is kind of boring.
It kind of, it was.
You are a sinner.
So,
no, it's a slow game.
You are a
sinner
as well.
It's fun with the novelty of, you know, sucking up
everything. Yeah.
It's a very slow, kind of easy game for the most part.
Right. The novelty is that you can sort of fly and have new powers. And basically, you can still have new powers in this game. And the best Kirby game was Canvas Curse to me, and that
really?
Was... Really? Yeah. That one really didn't have anything to do with traditional Kirby in the sense that you get to walk around. I mean, it was almost a better Sonic game, you know, than I guess what you'd think of as Kirby, but I thought it was excellent. So
that's a good point, actually. So let's see, what else? They had Mario, is it called Mario Sports?
Mario Sports Mix.
Okay. So
I wish.
I mean, there's really not much to say about that. It's exactly what you would expect. It's a compilation of mini games featuring Mario and friends. They've got, let's see, what do they have? They got basketball, yeah, basketball, hockey, beach volleyball. Did they have soccer?
No, because they already did soccer.
Right. Well, I mean, they've already done basketball too.
It's
yeah.
On DS though. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't do that on anything.
Yeah, it was right. Basketball. It was four games, right? Basketball, hockey, volleyball, and this weekend, and then it was seemed to be dodgeball.
That's right.
Oh yeah, dodgeball.
Which they showed like.
Wait, was it dodgeball?
Yeah, it was like in a second.
I didn't even see
that.
Hard,
exactly. Hard to even tell it was dodgeball.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. It's not even on the menu for the demo, so.
Yeah,
it uses Project Control, or I'm sorry.
It probably connects. Does somehow.
Yeah.
But
I think that's exactly what I tweeted was Mario Volleyball is Mario Volleyball, etc. Hockey, etc. Basketball. I mean, you know what it is.
Yeah.
It's this formula with
There's not much to that one.
The thing is, like with those games, I don't understand like why they make all the characters look so generic. Like, I mean, you know, they are the characters, they can't really do that much to them, but they don't even try to, like, make the characters
look better.
Well,
it's because it's a cheap cash-in game.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose.
It's because they don't have a Mario Olympic game to do for another 2 years, so
they
need something now, because those games did well, but they weren't that great either.
Those games are pretty awful.
Yes.
I'm trying to be nice.
So, for, the 3DS, they had a pretty big announcement. They have a ton of third-party support.
Including, like, was Metal Gear Solid on the menu?
Yeah.
And Resident Evil's on the menu.
And Kingdom Hearts, and
was Final Madden on there, or was it just Kingdom Hearts? What was from Square?
I think Final Fantasy was on there, too. Was Madden on there, or was that for Wii third-party support?
I think it might have been for Wii.
I can't remember.
But they had a whole...
It was an impressive list.
They had a big list
it
of
wasn't
companies.
Even, it was, that wasn't even... A
I told Desiree to take a picture of the screen because I was like, that's a big list,
Abe,
just get it at once.
Yeah, I think Abe got a picture of that.
Yeah
it was an impressive list. So hopefully...
as lists go.
As far as lists go. Quite impressive.
The length was good.
Oh, yes. So at the end of the show... At the end of the show... who was it at the end? Was it Reggie? Yeah, it was Reggie. So he, they had like a ton of booth babes come out with 3DSs. Because Reggie was talking about, oh, you know, all the people online, you can't see how it is, but we want to try and show you. And they showed like a little CG trailer with Miyamoto, Iwata, and Reggie, which was kind of cute, you know. So all the booth babes come out. Yeah. All the booth babes come out, and they have each a 3DS in their hands. And so they just kind of go into the crowd and, you know, mingle with people. So all the 3DSs go kind of like to the middle of the auditorium. Reggie says, oh, you know, conference is over. If you want to try to use a 3DS now, you know, go up to a booth, babe, and, you know, play with it. and so in addition to that, they had the 3DSs like in the middle of the auditorium, and they also had like a whole, like, you know, maybe a dozen or so.
A buttload.
Yeah, a lot of consoles.
Enough to fill a butt.
A lot of consoles.
Like kiosks for the...
There were a lot.
There were many. A butt's worth.
Of Zelda Skyward Sword consoles come up. And so, you know, people split. They went either to go play the 3DS or go up front to play Zelda. So that was pretty cool because we got to play it like immediately after the conference. We didn't have to go to the show floor or anything. So we did that, and then we went to the Sony conference, which was pretty disappointing in my opinion.
Well, the best part of that was like the grilled cheese sandwiches they gave out before the conference.
You know, that's actually a very valid point.
Yeah. I mean, because it was kind of weird because I kind of like the direction they're going, but Microsoft flat out
bribed everybody in their conference with free Xboxes.
Yes.
And yeah, so if you guys didn't hear about that...
Oh, go ahead.
First of all, we got shafted big time. We registered for the Microsoft conference. We got there. We waited maybe like an hour or so.
It turned out that they were pretty strict on their invite only, and the reason was because they were giving everyone an Xbox who showed up and shipping it to their house.
Right. So we registered, but for that reason, we did not get in. We didn't know it at the time, but we didn't get in. So we were shipped off back to a hotel near the convention center. Yeah. So we were basically seated in a big auditorium, and it had two projectors showing us, you know, live feed of what was going on in the convention center where we were supposed to be. And so at the very end, you know, well, I guess throughout the demo, or throughout the whatever it's called, they showed off Kinect, which is now the name of Project Natal, and they pushed that, like, you know, that was the only thing they showed, was Kinect, Kinect, Kinect. So at the very end of the show, they announced that they're making a new 360 model. It's a 360 Slim. It's got 250 gig hard drive, built-in Wi-Fi. It's slimmer, makes less noise. I'm assuming it takes up less power. And so this is another kind of thing that was funny to me. I was joking like a few days earlier saying, oh, well, somebody's going to say, you know, at their conference that, you know, this console is available today.
Oh, the Sega Saturn thing.
Yeah, right, because Sega did that during the Saturn. They were like, during their, I guess it was their E3 conference, they said, you know, oh, we announced the system, by the way, it's available today. And that's exactly what Microsoft did. They announced the Xbox 360 Slim, and they said, you know, this thing is shipping today. It will be in stores, like, this week. And then in addition to that, they gave everybody in the auditorium a free 360 Slim. So, had we been there...
We would have been rolling in it.
Yeah.
But we weren't. But even so, I don't know, it seems like they're realizing we can impress them with, like, this well-choreographed, you know, spine-tingling trailers and all this great stuff, or we can just give them some shit.
Yeah.
And Sony did that. We arrived at their press conference, and it was lunchtime.
Well,
so
they were
they
were really kind of lubricate the audience, because they're like, ah, open bar and food.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was lunchtime, and it was scheduled right after a press conference.
Yeah,
it started at like 8, so it was okay that they had food. The open bar was weird, because A, it was before noon, so I kind of felt weird. Like,
I didn't even think of that, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I got like Desiree got a mimosa. I got a screwdriver until I remember that I don't really like those that much. But it was wild, and that was the best part of the conference, is they had kind of tacos and quiches and...
Grilled cheese? They had smoothies. Did you guys get those?
I didn't...
No, they had smoothies?
Yeah.
Yeah. The smoothest.
Nice. All the food, everything I tried was really good, though, so
yeah.
Props to them.
Except for
so like,
you didn't like that parfait, did you?
No.
It
was like an old parfait.
So
probably,
fuck them.
Yeah.
You know what? Screw Sony. Yeah. The whole thing was a sham.
Well, the whole thing was a sham, though. You can go on and... let everyone know how shitty it was.
Yeah, so pretty much like Jared said, I mean, the food really was kind of the highlight of the show, disappointingly. I think what it boils down to is that Sony just had way too much to show, and because of that, the things that they did show did not get nearly enough time. The first thing they did was 3D. They gave us 3D glasses. They showed off... Did they show off Crysis 2, or was that just EA showing off Crysis?
They just mentioned it.
Okay.
So they showed it off during the 3D segment, though.
Oh,
during,
yeah,
their, one of their many montages.
You're right, yeah.
I think their problem is they don't seem to understand who their competition is. They have, like, on the one hand, they have the motion thing, because they've got... They're trying to capture the Wii market, and they're trying to outdo... Microsoft on it, whereas Microsoft, like, very clearly was going for the casual thing, Sony seems like they want to do the motion, but keep this, you know, high-powered, hardcore, sense to it, I guess. Like, they seem like they were kind of trying to push the stuff that wasn't just Wii games repackaged the way Xbox did. Mm. And then on the other hand, they have, like, you know, just 3D, because they think, oh,
you know, Xbox don't have that, or, you know, we can't, or not we, but like DS can't do it like this. So it seemed like they really were having trouble, like, kind of reconciling themselves as both, like, wanting to be the most powerful one on the block and the innovator. Mm-hmm. And they clearly, I mean, they just didn't have a priority for the conference. It was just everything they had thrown at you. And it was just, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Just one quick little mention. During the Nintendo conference, Reggie made, like, you know, he talked a little bit about how people think 3D needs to have glasses and how, oh, haha, you know, that's not a very fashion-forward thing. Yeah.
He said that.
And so, you know, he kind of poked fun at the point that everybody else uses glasses, whereas the 3DS does not. And so when we get to Sony, you know, they have pictures up on screen of, you know, families wearing glasses, and it's like the exact same pictures that Nintendo had, that, you know, they had kind of Photoshopped mock glasses, you know, making fun of it. So that was kind of fun. Anyway, so they did 3D. They showed off Move for, I think, only like two games, which to me was really disappointing because I don't.
One was golf, and
yeah, Tiger Woods golf. Which really didn't show it off. It didn't really show it off very well because, I mean, it only tracked one to one in a very, like, short range of motion. Like, it's not like Tiger, you know, picked up his golf club while you weren't, you know, holding it down at the ground.
Well, it's not just that, but I mean, honestly, just looking at it, if it was really one to one, how often would you be able to hit a golf ball you can't see in front
exactly.
of you?
Exactly. I mean, the first time
I've gone golfing and missed the golf ball, you know, with the golf ball in front of me. But if I'm pretending there's a golf ball there, I don't know how you're even supposed to hit that if they're not helping you yeah. with, like, auto-aim.
Well, the first time the guy went to swing, he did hit the ground, which was pretty funny. Yeah.
But then he kept hitting, like,
he did, yeah.
suspiciously good shots, especially saying that he usually golfs lefty or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that whole conference sucked.
Yeah. So what else did they do? They did 3D, they did Move.
They did a black kid selling us PSPs.
Yeah, the, I forget his name, the kid
Marcus.
From, Marcus, okay.
Marcus Phoenix himself.
The kid from Role Models, you know, the little black kid, he's been in some other stuff too. He is now going to be, like, co-advertising with, Jesus, I forget his name.
Kevin Butler.
Yes, mm-hmm. Kevin Butler. So that's going to be funny. You know, they showed us some of their marketing campaigns, some of the ads. They were pretty funny. And then Kevin Butler himself actually did come out, and, you know, he did his whole spiel. That was pretty funny. He did give, like, a really good speech, I thought, at the very end of, like, his segment. I think it was meant to be, like, you know, part of his funny kind of business, but it actually was pretty serious and pretty well-worded. Basically, he was talking about how all the people who play games, it was kind of two-part, all the people who play games are fanboys of, you know, something, you know, one of the three companies. And then on top of that, most of these people who are fanboys are hardcore gamers, and they look down upon the casual gamers. So basically what this little last part boiled down to was everybody get along, and it was just really well-worded, and it was actually, like, a really thoughtful speech. So, I don't know, to me, I enjoyed that. You know, I appreciated what Sony was doing, kind of like handing out an olive branch. Maybe they were just doing that because they know they're entering a losing battle. But, I don't know, we'll see. So, what else did they do after that? They showed off a bunch of other games. They gave a date for Gran Turismo 5.
Finally.
Yeah.
November, right?
Is that what yeah, I don't remember.
First November.
I believe it was November 16th.
Yeah, November.
I think it was the 2nd, but I have it written down.
Yep, finally a date.
November 2nd, yeah.
All right, cool.
After how many years?
Yeah,
it was
right.
supposed to be a launch
It was
game.
A launch title.
Yeah.
Yeah, God.
So 5, 6 years then.
What else did they show?
Little Big Planet 2.
Yes, that was very quick.
That was pretty impressive, though, I thought. The improvements they made to it, they really took it in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Where, and, I mean, this is pretty much the wording they used. The first game was it was a level design game, and this one's a game design. Mm. It looks like they implemented a lot of, you can make a variety of different games. You can customize the HUD, you can customize the camera angles, you can have, like, isometric views, you can go from above or side-scrolling. You can make RPGs. They said you can make an RTS out of it. They had some shooters that they had developed. So I was impressed by how, I mean, they really, just think about how creative you got with Little Big Planet, and this is just a whole other thing.
I was kind of surprised that they didn't, they mentioned this before, but that they didn't, like, restate this fact, but Little Big Planet 2 is completely backwards compatible with Little Big Planet 1.
Oh, yeah,
in terms
that's right.
of
yeah.
levels and costumes.
It's all progressive, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And so then at the very end, you know, the president who talked way too much during the conference.
Was it Jack Tretton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who loved what Kevin Butler called Pete? That's kind of funny.
Kevin Butler is funny.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Is he just, like, that guy, or is he somebody?
No, he's that guy.
Okay, that's just his job is to be that
guy.
Yeah,
he's, like, their PR, or their marketing campaign.
So he's really, okay, that's what I was asking. Because I was unclear as to whether he was just, like, a talented, like, CEO or something.
No.
I was like, oh, man, this is, this is gold.
When he first came out, I think, like, the first words out of his mouth were, I love gaming, and then everybody's quiet, and then one guy in the audience just yells out the same thing, I love gaming, and then Kevin Butler, he just kind of stood there, like, you know, he didn't really know what to do, which was kind of awkward, because it's very out of character for his character, and so after a few seconds, he's just like, I love you, and continues on, but, I don't know, it was just kind of interesting to see, like,
him freeze.
You know, yeah, like, maybe he's not actually this person, maybe it really is, like, a very well-written character.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Stephen Colbert kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, Colbert is very quick-witted.
Yeah.
But, whatever. So, at the very end, Peter Tretton?
No, Jack Tretton?
Jack Tretton, whatever.
We'll call him Pete. For our purposes, we'll start calling him Pete. No.
Peter Tretton.
Henceforth.
Yeah. So he was acting like he was ending the conference, and then all of a sudden, they showed a Twisted Metal trailer.
But nobody cared.
I cared.
Because we thought we were...
It looks really good, I think. They actually spent a lot of time, I think more time on that than anything else.
Really?
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Not worth it.
All right, whatever.
It's not even worth the time of discussing
it. You're wrong and your opinion's wrong.
Whatever. So then we went to the show floor and played some games. Is there anything you guys want to talk about that we haven't already talked about? Like maybe your impressions on some games?
I tried...
already talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, go if you got something.
The stuff that we haven't talked about. I tried Metroid Other M, which I thought... a couple months ago, I read an article that kind of depicted how the game's going to play, and I assumed it was going to be a nunchuck controller combo where you use the nunchuck to, you know, the analog stick to control your movement, and the controller to shoot or possibly even aim at the screen, etc., etc. Turns out you actually flip it sideways like an original Nintendo controller, and you use the D-pad to control the movement and the two buttons, kind of like you would if you were playing the original Metroid, which is kind of neat as far as a throwback goes, but I thought that wouldn't really work very well for this versus the obvious better option, in my opinion. However, after playing the demo, although I still feel that the other thing might, you know, it just makes more sense to do it the other way, it does feel very intuitive. You can, on the platforming levels or parts of the game, you move left and right and you can go in and out of the screen, so you move backward and you'd be pressing up and stuff like that. But...
Nothing.
All these new windows.
But, and then to shoot your rockets, or you could do a charge beam in the view, you point the Wiimote at the screen like you would if you were playing any game with a gun, and then it switches to first-person view, and then you can aim. The only problem with this is you can't move. You're kind of stuck in the screen, so if you're in a pinch fighting
during
a boss...
During
first person, yeah. You might be stuck that way. I didn't really play it long enough to,
No, yeah, you are.
So, yeah.
You can't move.
Right, so I don't know how well that really works when you're like, you know, oh crap, you know, I gotta shoot the missile now and then move.
Yeah.
But the platforming elements of it, they were really good. I really enjoyed it. And while the cutscenes are a little long, they're done really well and they're all voice acted and stuff. So I thought it was cool. I think it's gonna be a winner. Not the next...
It's gonna be a champ.
You can do it, kid. Not the next best great game, but I think I think it's... I definitely feel better about it today than I did yesterday.
So. I feel like we're saying that about a lot of Nintendo games lately. Whereas it used to be that if it wasn't the next great thing, it was a massive disappointment.
Yeah, just giving him the slack.
Yeah, and now, you know, it's not the next best thing, but it'll be solid. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, like, yeah. You know.
Kirby Epic Yarn's the next best thing.
Yeah.
You can quote me on that. Don't quote me on that.
Alright, so... What else? Did I talk about what I did on the 3DS?
No, you didn't.
I don't know.
Okay, so I played the 3DS. I looked at a Kingdom Hearts trailer. To me, I couldn't even tell that was 3D. Like, I asked the booth babes, like, okay, I can't really tell if this is 3D or not. And, like, I had heard before, maybe, you know, like, just normal eyeglasses kind of messes with the 3D, so I was kind of switching my glasses on and off. I asked the booth babes, you know, does this look 3D to you? And, of course, I mean, they both, there were two of them, they're like, oh, yeah, it's 3D. But,
stupid women.
Yeah. So yeah, Kingdom Hearts just, I couldn't even tell it was 3D. Then I went to play Professor Layton. That looked very 3D to me, I was impressed by that. However, that was all 2D, so basically what it looked like was, for those of you who are, like, familiar with Photoshop, just, like, layers of different things. So, you know, like, the text box is going to be out in front, and then, you know, a little bit behind it, it's like the characters, and then a little bit behind that, it's like background characters, behind that, it's like the background environment. So it's basically just, like, separated into, like I said, different layers. And then also the 3DS has a slider that lets you control, like, the depth of the 3D, or just turn it off if you slide it all the way down. And I played with that, and it was pretty cool, because I could actually see the depth of these layers, you know, changing as I moved the slider. But for those of you, like, wondering about the 3DS, because I know I was, Nintendo made it out to seem like things are popping out at you, but unless they're hiding something from us, it's exactly the opposite, if anything. I think Jared explained it best. He basically said, did you say this during this?
No, I don't think I said anything about the 3DS.
Okay, so he... Well, why don't you describe it?
Well, I said it was kind of like a bear on a unicycle. No, wait. it's kind of like a jewel box or something, or kind of like if you opened up the DS, and then where the screen is, that's where, like, glass would be, and then underneath, or behind that, I guess, or below it or whatever, would be what you're looking at, you know... I mean, it's hard to describe, you know, the thing I saw was they had some Pikmin standing around under some leaves, or I mean, under some kind of low, tiny clovers or whatever the fuck, and it looked like they were really underneath the clovers, and that was just kind of like, you know, maybe a few millimeters beneath the screen, so it looked like you were looking into a window of something that's really there. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool looking.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really else to say from that. I think, like, a lot of people are wondering how, you know, Nintendo is doing this without glasses. I was kind of messing with the 3DS, like, turning it and, you know, kind of tilting it to see if I could kind of tell some stuff. And, like, I could be terribly, terribly wrong, but I think what's happening is that they're taking either, like, one pixel or two pixels very close together and, like, shooting off the light at different angles. I know they've started to, you know, experiment with that with some TVs so that you can see the picture from different angles. But it seems to me, in doing that, you can do something with, like, the parallax angles or whatever, and, you know, kind of mixing the different channels, if you would call them that, with your eyes, and that's, I guess, what makes it look 3D. But they also announced that the 3DS has a accelerometer and a gyroscope in it. So, you know, following that, it seems to me that there's going to be some kind of motion control games. However, when I was moving the 3DS around, one of two things happened. Either, like, there was kind of a shift in the picture, so just imagine, like, you know, you're seeing one image in one eye, one image in the other eye, and they're mixing into, you know, one image. But, you know, as you tilt the 3DS, you kind of see an overlap between those two images, and it loses its 3D effect. So it was either that or, like, there was just a very dull gray bar going across the 3DS screen, which you can kind of see with, like, you know, little toy holographic things. Also, like, the 3DS, it only has one 3D screen, which is the top screen. The bottom screen is still just a touch screen. And the top screen is widescreen, and it's larger than the bottom one. So I think that's about it for the 3DS. I mean, is there anything else we want to mention even about what we saw today?
I played Sonic the Hedgehog 4. It sucked. What else is new, I guess?
Did you really?
Oh, wait, the one that's supposed to be like...
Wait, Sonic Colors or Sonic 4?
No, I played Sonic Colors. Sonic Colors is...
I didn't even know Sonic 4 was there.
Yeah, isn't it an Xbox Live game or like a downloadable?
It's episodic. Yeah, it's on all of them. Yeah. Xbox Live, PlayStation Network.
How could they not just copy Sonic and then just add a new level or something?
Did you play Sonic Rush?
The people...
What? For DS?
Yeah, I played
Sonic Rush. Yeah, Sonic Rush sucked.
What?
Yeah. Yes, it was okay because of how low the bar is for Sonic.
Probably.
But Sonic Colors was also Sonic Rush, and it's just hold left, press the speed button down again.
Oh, you're playing it wrong, clearly.
That was the problem. But there's nothing to the game. It's nothing. It isn't anything.
The game does not exist.
And there,
That's why it's so terrible.
No, it's like, I understand if you're like Gonzo for the game just because you're an asshole or an idiot or something.
Hey, no.
There's like, you know, there's different branching paths, but there's no like... I remember when I used to play Sonic, there was like, for some, it would be like, oh, I want to get up to that path because there's like cool stuff like in a casino zone. You want to get up there and go into the slot machine because you think it'll give you a lot of money or... There's just kind of a cool secret or something, but there's no... You just kind of go, and you kind of just, to me, accept the way that is, like, the least path of least resistance, and that gets you to the end. And you didn't have fun doing it, but you probably wouldn't have had fun doing anything else because the whole game was shit.
Ouch. Oh, man.
Wow.
And the thing about Sonic the Hedgehog 4, too, is that they're trying to go... for like a remake look,
sure.
Like how they did with Mega Man,
mm-hmm.
but not quite because they're trying to go for that art style, but it's glossed over, and they tried to make it or upgrade the graphics, so it just looks kind of plasticky, and the camera is zoomed in so close to Sonic that I can't see what's going on ahead of me.
Really?
Anyway.
That's the other problem with Rush, is, yeah, I mean, they have a lot of top-down space because of the two screens, but forward, it's like, well, I hope I don't run into something.
Yeah, and none of the games are very vertical, so what's the point of having all that space up and down and nothing to the right or left? And the other thing I was going to say was that I'm drawing a blank, so I don't know.
It was, let me think, maybe...
It was about Sonic.
Alright. Did you...
Did it suck? Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Super
Sonic? Yeah, I think
was it nothing?
It was nothing, yeah.
Alright,
well, that's too bad. That's disappointing.
Anything else? Alright, so I think we're done for tonight. This has actually gone on a lot longer than I thought it would. So again, you know, if you have any questions for us, please ask them and we'll try to find them out for you. You can just, you know, email us at wtpodcast@gmail.com. You know, go to our forums, ZWP. Oh, God, I can't even think. ZWP. I don't know. Listen to some other episode. Or it's just...
or another podcast entirely.
Yeah.
They probably know their own forums.
tinyurl.com/workingtitle. That'll take you there. Our Facebook page is Zelda... Oh, God, I don't even...
You'd probably search for it.
Just
use Google.
You know, you guys know where to find us, so just do it.
Or don't.
Or don't, yeah. However, we don't have internet at the hotel we're at, so I can't really guarantee you we'll find anything out for you, but maybe...
We all have smartphones, though.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And iPads. Now.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, Jordan got an iPad tonight at a Namco event we went to. It's Pac-Man's 30th birthday today, so...
Happy birthday, Pac-Man. Thanks for the gift.
I don't think it wasn't today, though. It was just this year.
It wasn't?
No, the day was the day they did that Google thing, right?
Oh, possibly. It was just 30th anniversary.
Yeah, I think it's just that this is, right, you know, a video game conference, so it's applicable.
So, yeah. Yeah, so I guess we can find it. But yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Later, Internet.